This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Everybody's got a story. Some are very extraordinary stories. It might be good for somebody to look into theirs.
Because a story is the shortest distance between two people.
The Living Room is our ongoing storytelling series. Today's show, Beyond the Dream, 50 years later. August 28th marks the 50th anniversary of what might be the most celebrated political gathering in our nation's history. Close to 250,000 people poured onto the Washington Mall to show their solidarity with the growing civil rights movement. It was the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. The march might be best known as the venue where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his now iconic I Have a Dream speech. But he didn't debut the speech in Washington, D.C.
As I move toward my conclusion, you're asking, I'm sure, what can we do here in Detroit to help in the struggle in the South?
King gave an earlier version of his now famous speech in Detroit on June 23rd of 1963. Some Detroiters contend that the events of that weekend are just as relevant, if not more so, than the March on Washington. The Detroit Walk to Freedom was organized by the Detroit Council for Human Rights. It was conceived as a way to commemorate the race riot that took place in the city 20 years earlier. But it was also an event to protest the current state of race and economic relations, both in the urban North and the American South. Living Room producer Zach Rosen spoke with a handful of Detroiters who were at that gathering in June of 63.
I remember it was a beautiful day. And I remember there was this joy everywhere.
It was just all in all a fantastically beautiful day.
And as a 16-year-old, how would you have found out about the protest? Are there posters at record store?
No. My friend Mike Evans and I, two of the young ladies we were dating, they knew about it, so we went with them.
I bet you're wondering how I knew.
History is a story. It comes from the word histoire. And as E.H. Carr said, it's a dialogue between the past and the present. Well, I'm Grace Boggs, and I'm an awfully old woman, and I was born nearly 100 years ago. So in 1963, I was 48 years old.
The whole center city of Detroit was being cleared of blacks to make way for urban renewal. The freeway construction had begun, so there was a lot of unrest. I'm Reverend Dr. Nicholas Hood, Sr. I was 40 then.
I'm Ron Scott. I was 16 in 1963. I had had a gun pulled on me and put a shotgun in my face when I was 13 years old, as part of the mayor of the city of Detroit's crackdown on crime, which was really cracking down on a number of African Americans. So it was very significant to me.
We started holding meetings in churches once a week to announce the march. And incredibly, the whole state became involved.
My name is Jennifer Wynn. I was 15 in 1963. And I had a social studies teacher by the name of Miss Norton. She was very strict and she was very conservative. She always wore a dark color and like the old nurse's shoes. And she always would talk about John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. She made an assignment for us to go to the walk. And if you didn't do the assignment, you know, you would fail the class. So, you know, this is in June. It was like, okay, well, you know, I got to go.
Well, I think the struggle for rights had been a struggle for integration. And now we were struggling about what kind of society were we going to have in this country and who was going to lead it.
So I had to walk up to Dexter, take the Dexter bus, and it would take me all the way downtown. That was a 45-minute ride. At that time, you know, you could ride the bus by yourself. You didn't have to worry about anyone trying to kidnap you or say anything bad to you because everyone was very nice at that time. And it was just crowded. I had never seen so many people in all my life. And we just started walking.
I invited our church to join the march with me. And We joined the march at about 1 or 1:30 on that Sunday. They'd already been going, and we walked the 4 or 5 miles of the route, singing all the way, and everybody we saw, even the people on the sides watching, were singing. Much to our surprise, when we arrived at Cobo Hall, there were so many people crowding inside the building that the line of marches where I was were turned down behind Cobo Hall. Crowded, they were all the way to the river.
And were you able to hear what was happening?
No, actually, in all honesty, I didn't get in. They did have speakers, but in those days, the electronics weren't as advanced as they are today.
My good friend, Reverend C.L. Franklin, and all of the officers and members of the Detroit Council of Human Rights, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot begin to say to you this afternoon how thrilled I am, and I cannot begin to tell you the deep joy that comes to my heart as I participate with you in what I consider the largest and greatest demonstration for freedom ever held in the United States.
To me, it was more significant than the March on Washington, because people remember the speeches that were big shots speaking on August 28th. I mean, it was the organization, it was the involvement of people, it was the connection with the local struggle that was so important.
I have a dream this afternoon that one day right here in Detroit, Negroes will be able to buy a house or rent a house anywhere that their money will carry them, and they will be able to get a job.
It really wasn't just about that. I have a dream. It really was a march. For instance, that year, 1963, there was a woman who was a sex worker who was killed by the name of Cynthia Scott. She was African American. The cop that killed her was white. And people got very upset about that because she was just kind of wantonly shot down. And they challenged it with that without even raising the question about whether she was a prostitute. She was a human being. Today, in many cases, people want to know, well, was this guy a good guy? Was he a bad guy? The value of human life, I think, has changed to some degree.
We will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual of all, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I just remember the fact that Detroit, in its essence, was a place that could help transform the world. And I think that's similarly the case today.
I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream. I still have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream.
The Living Room is produced by Allison Downey and Zach Rosen. We have information on our website about some commemorative marches taking place in Detroit this weekend.